Hi there, it's Ed here with a short message before we start the pod this week. Did you know that our most informed investors get insights, articles and investment ideas from Tom, me and the team sent directly to them via email, and it is completely free. You can join them. Just subscribe at fidelity.co.uk/newsletters.
In the markets this week, the rally finally broadens out. Bitcoin and gold both hit new records, and the pound rises as the UK starts to look safe and boring. The rally in shares since last autumn has focused mainly on the Magnificent Seven, and not just in the US, but in Europe and Japan too, the market's recovery has been driven by a narrow group of big outperformers. But behind the scenes, the rest of the market has been catching up. It's been a long wait, but the equal-weighted S&P 500 index has finally broken out above its January 22 peak. For the first time in 26 months, shares generally have hit a record high, not just the big tech stocks. The percentage of shares trading above their 200-day moving average is now nearly 80%. It hasn't been at this level since the post-pandemic rally after the discovery of vaccines in late 2020 convinced investors that COVID could be managed. Whether or not this broad-based rally can continue will depend on the fundamentals now. Will earnings keep growing fast enough to justify the market's currently high valuation? It's looking promising. The fourth quarter earnings season is now wrapped up, and profits emerged much better than expected. At the start of the quarterly results round, expectations were for a modest 1% rise in earnings. In fact, it turned out to be about 8%. For 2024 as a whole, analysts are now forecasting about 10% earnings growth and a bit more than that next year. Importantly, it's not just about wider profit margins, revenues are growing too. That's necessary because the average valuation of US shares has risen by about 6 percentage points since the October low. That's taken it from the mid-teens to the low 20s, which is quite a stretch. The economic and market narrative has now switched decisively to a soft landing in which inflation is overcome without breaking the economy. The economy is apparently coping with higher interest rates much better than expected. What would normally have led to a recession has merely led to a slowdown in growth. Can that continue? If it does, it will be a break with history, because normally when short-term interest rates are consistently above longer-dated ones, the so-called yield curve inversion, a recession has followed and the market has turned lower. This cycle is starting to look like an outlier. Perhaps what's different this time is the rapid retreat of inflation. Although the Fed and other central banks are erring on the side of caution, it does seem inevitable that rates will fall this year. Neutral policy looks to be under 4%, so rates have scope to fall back from their current level above 5%. As ever, it's helpful to look for similar patterns in the past, and now the most plausible analogy is found in the late 1960s. Then the earnings, valuation, and market picture looked quite similar. As we now know, the recession was delayed, not cancelled. It came along in 1970 and more seriously in 1974. But the late 1960s were a good time to be invested. It could be that the next couple of years look similar. Again, history probably won't repeat itself. The big mistake in the 1960s was for central banks to focus on growth rather than inflation. In 1966, the Fed cut interest rates prematurely and had to do a U-turn in 67. But it was too late. Inflation was unleashed, and it took a decade or more to get it under control. Central banks are determined not to make that mistake again. That's why they're holding fire at the moment. There's another way in which markets are a break with history right now, and that's the way in which both Bitcoin and gold are hitting new highs at the same time. Bitcoin, as we know, is a speculative asset and tends to do well when appetite for risk is rising. Gold, on the other hand, is usually seen as a defensive safe haven, in favour when investors are running from risk. So it's odd that both should be rising at the same time. One explanation is that investors are simply chasing momentum. They're buying what's going up in a bout of FOMO, fear of missing out. We've also seen this in recent weeks in China, very out of favour until the last couple of months, but up nearly 15%. Bitcoin moved above $71,000 for the first time this week, benefiting in part from a statement from the UK's FCA that it planned to align with regulators in other markets by allowing the creation of crypto-backed exchange-traded notes for professional investors. The introduction of crypto ETFs in the US recently has been a key driver in bringing Bitcoin into the mainstream. Coupled with an imminent reduction in the rate at which new Bitcoins can be mined, the so-called halving that's due to happen in April, appetite for crypto has soared. Gold, meanwhile, has added over $100 an ounce in a week to take it to a new all-time high of just below $2,200. The price of the precious metal is rising despite the recent strength of the dollar against most currencies and despite interest rates having risen strongly over the past couple of years. Both would normally be a headwind for gold. A higher dollar makes gold expensive for non-US purchasers, and high interest rates increase the opportunity cost of holding an asset which doesn't pay investors an income. Closer to home, last week's budget had little impact on the financial markets, as it turned out to be a pretty tame affair for a pre-election fiscal statement. The Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, was operating within tight financial constraints, with little headroom available for voter-friendly tax giveaways. He's anyway a naturally prudent politician who recognises the need to keep the markets on side, unlike some of his recent predecessors. In the end, the budget was a net fiscal giveaway with a 2 percentage point reduction in national insurance, handing £10 billion back to workers, while a handful of other tax measures clawed back about a third of that via changes to the non-dom rules and an extension to the oil and gas windfall tax. Overall, there was a £6.5 billion loosening. That was pretty much all the Chancellor could realistically afford if he was to stick to his self-imposed fiscal rule of reducing the public debt as a proportion of the economy by the end of the five-year forecasting horizon. Even that was arguably only achieved with some unrealistically heroic assumptions about public spending. But from a market perspective, the budget was a grown-up, sensible fiscal statement, and so bond yields were stable, the stock market moved slightly higher, and the pound continued its recent improvement against the dollar. Sterling is increasingly being viewed as a safe haven asset, as British politics looks like a choice between two centrist parties who won't take any big risks with the economy. That's how markets like it, and it casts Britain in a favourable light compared with many of our peers, where politics looks much more polarised. On the news front, it looks like being another relatively quiet week. Earnings announcements are thin on the ground, and on the economic front, there are just a few key data releases. We get news on US inflation, as well as some prices data in India and parts of Europe. Both the UK and Japan have GDP announcements too.
Please note that the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may get back less than you invest. Investors should note that the views expressed may no longer be current and may have already been acted upon. This information is not a personal recommendation for any particular investment. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to one of Fidelity's advisors or an authorised financial advisor of your choice. Overseas investments will be affected by movements in currency exchange rates, and investments in emerging markets can be more volatile than other more developed markets. Reference to the specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Tax treatment depends on individual circumstances and all tax rules may change in the future. Withdrawals from a pension product may not be possible until you reach age 55, 57 from 2028. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. This podcast is meant only for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or a solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make such an offer or solicitation.